both hands over his head.
That'll do. Everyone out of the way. It's Coatl. Tell them.
There was instant chaos. Some of the natives continued to tip containers of gasoline down onto the milling insects. Others simply started to run. Ryan waited a few moments until the calmer spirits prevailed and everyone was moved away from the rim. Ryan flicked at the match with the corner of his thumbnail, and nothing happened. He tried again, this time rewarded by a flicker of pale yellow flame. Ryan dropped it into the pool of gas and saw it catch. The fire was almost invisible at first in the bright morning sunlight. Then, the orange flames and the pillar of noxious white smoke rose more than a mile into the air. They were back at the village well before noon. Ryan stopped and turned around, looking eastward at the dark finger of smoke that still pointed toward the sky, ragged at the top where the easterly wind was tugging at it.
Good one, Doc.
Why, thank you, kind sir. Thank you kindly.
Sure it got all of them, Dad?
I told you before that I thought it wouldn't possibly burn every single ant, but we took out way over 90% of them. There haven't been many massacres in history that didn't leave a single survivor.
The Alamo.
And the Little Bighorn, unless you count the horse, Comanche.
There was a celebration, though it was short on meat, virtually all of the village's supply having gone to lure the ants to their fiery deaths. But there was ample fish and great vats filled with atole, a spiced gruel of maize, honey, and chili. Everyone sat on the floor at the tables, helping themselves with their fingers. Pitchers of Oakley were passed from hand to hand, drained by the men and refilled by the women. Mildred and Christy were the only two females allowed to sit at the table, presumably because of their friendship with the god, Jack Lauren.
The danger is now gone, and the god light shines upon us again.
I don't want to be a spoiler, Chief, but you've got two other dangers. The Jaguar people and the slavers. Both of them could mean the end of your village, as sure as if it were being overrun by the ants.
Those are words with the color of blood. We must think on them.
The meal was virtually over, several of the natives lying in the dirt, hopelessly drunk. Some of the younger warriors had begun to play a strange game in the open square of the village. They had a sort of ball made from a tightly knotted length of leather cord, and the object of the game was to keep this ball aloft without the use of hands at all, just feet, legs, heads, hips, and shoulders. Ryan watched, fascinated by the skill and cunning displayed by the young men as they threw themselves around the dusty patch of flat ground. Jack had also been watching.
I'd like to try that, Chief.
Itzcoatl gaped at the idea of a visiting god wishing to demean himself in a childish game. But because Jack was clearly the visiting god of salvation of their legends, he could do nothing but give a nod of permission. Ryan felt exhausted after the labor of the previous night, when nobody had any sleep. He watched as Jack walked as light as air to join the young men of the tribe. Then he had to have dozed off as he jerked awake to find Christy nudging him.
Look, lover.
The whole village seemed to be standing around the square, silently watching Jack. The teenager had the finest coordination of anyone Ryan had ever seen, making him a lethal opponent in any form of hand-to-hand combat. Now, relaxing after the tension of the night and the dawn, he was dazzlingly unstoppable.
He's kept that ball going for at least 5 minutes.
Jack stood on one foot, perfectly balanced, keeping the leather ball in the air with his other foot. Occasionally, for variety, he flicked it onto his left shoulder, then the right, up to his head where he kept it balanced, almost hidden among the sweeping flood of white hair. As Ryan watched, the teenager kicked the little ball high in the air, diving into a double forward roll and catching it perfectly at the nape of his neck, snapping his head back to send it soaring again, while he did a standing back somersault and caught the ball on his chin and balanced it there. Mildred leaned across the table.
Now nothing's going to convince them that our Jack's not a true-born god.
At least them worshipping him doesn't seem to have any downside.
So far.
After the meal, almost the entire population of the village crashed out, trying to make up for some of the lost sleep. Itzcoatl posted sentries on a rotating basis. Other than that, the settlement was quiet. Ryan hardly needed to suggest to his companions that they should follow suit. Dean was visibly out on his feet, and Doc had to be helped to his bed. 2 hours later, Ryan woke up, feeling pressure on his bladder. He rolled out of the sack and went to piss against the fence behind the hut, returning past his sleeping son to find that Christy was also awake.
Wrong time of day for shut-eye, lover.
I can't work out whether it's too early or too late. Definitely one or the other.
Agreed. Want to come for a walk?
Why not?
It took only a few moments for her to pull on the western boots. Afternoon sunlight chinked through the beaded curtain, bouncing off the chiseled silver toes.
Taking the rifle?
Nah, won't go far. Anything comes at you out of the deep forest is likely to be a target for close-range shooting.
This time they walked south from the village, along one of the network of wide trails and narrow pathways that mazed all around the area. The sky was still clear, and the column of smoke had vanished from the eastern horizon.
If it weren't for being permanently at war and being threatened by the slavers, these people would have a real good life. Everything they need is at hand.
Including a swarm of red fire ants. But I know what you mean. Only thing I find hard to handle is their human sacrifices.
That's true. Maybe it isn't paradise. Maybe nowhere is paradise.
They came to the tilled fields, about a half mile from the heart of the village, surrounded by a stout fence against animal predators, with its own water supply and a small stream that ran through.
Maize, beans, and sweet potatoes.
The women had stopped at their arrival, looking uncomfortable in the presence of the white friends of their new god. One of them they knew already. Middle-aged, with rings in her ears that had stretched the lobes to her shoulders, her name was Ibis, Atototl in their language. She came toward them, smiling, her lips moving as she rehearsed her little speech.
Welcome, Brian and Christy. This is where we grow much of our food.
Isn't there a risk that the Jaguar people might come and steal it?
No. They are bad, but not too bad to steal food. Only witchcraft. That is baddest. Throw stones to death for witchcraft. But steal food is also badder.
But you're at war. You kill each other when you can.
That is blood for gods. Different. You from outside do not see well.
Guess we don't. Are there other places where you work?
Ibis pointed past the stream.
That way. River where some women catching fish.
Maybe we'll go take a look.
Ibis looked worried, again fighting for the word she wanted to express herself.
A girl says she had gone after deer with snapped leg before sun was past the top of the sky. Her only. Heard noise and hid in bush. Says she saw many men with whips and many jaguar people.
Slavers raiding the jaguar village? Is she sure about that?
Say so. Says she has not seen so much of the slavers before.
Maybe we ought to go check this out, lover. If there's a sudden increase in the number of the slaves that they need for their silver mine, they could easily come calling on our village.
Ibis, best you get all the women together and go back to the village. Tell Itzcoatl what you told us, and also tell Jack. The god should know of this. Tell the god Jack we're going to take a look. That's all. You understand?
Yes. We go back village and tell of slavers. You will be follow them?
Right. Let's go, lover. Looks like we could be in for rain.
Reckon that when it really rains in a jungle like this, you need to keep your mouth closed to stop from drowning. It's coming our way, too.
I can hear the river. Must be where they're doing the fishing. We can warn them and send them all back safe to the village. Away from any slaver patrols. Just so long as they understand American.
Ryan grinned as they reached a point in the trail where it zigged and zagged steeply downhill, with flowering bushes on either side, their scent like fresh grapes.
If they don't, we just point toward the village and look fierce and angry and shout a lot.
Christy was in the lead, pausing at a sharp bend where they could look down 200 or 300 feet of sheer drop, to a fast-flowing river that ran from a feathery waterfall a little way up the valley. There were a number of brown-skinned women, some of them naked, throwing thin nets into the frothing pools.
Slavers come by here and they'll think it's Christmas and Thanksgiving all rolled into one. The sooner they leave for the village, the better.
Paradise in the Bible had its snake, didn't it? This place has all kinds of snakes. And not many of them crawl on the ground.
They were three quarters of the way down the narrow track before any of the women saw them. Most of them made an effort to grab at their loose cotton dresses, while others, mainly the younger ones, made no